What does Issues Etc. mean to you? Later this month, we'll celebrate the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. 618-223-8384. What does Issues Etc. mean to you? 618-223-8384.
This is exactly what we've been waiting for, that a sovereign nation can take control of their military, that the governance that they're going to exact is able to actually support the population.
The Iraqi forces are up to the job that currently confronts them. Now, the United States remains prepared to assist if necessary.
The voices of Brigadier General Steve Laza, he's chief military spokesman in Iraq, and of course Secretary of State Hillary Clinton discussing the withdrawal of troops from the Iraqi cities. Joining us here in Studio A for the last part of this first hour, Congressman John Shimkus from the 19th Congressional District. John, welcome back.
It's good to be back.
Thanks, and thanks to you on this day, because we sit in this studio in large part because of the kindness and the advice that you gave us, and you were on the phone with us. On a regular basis after we were canceled and you were expressing your concern, and you were very helpful to us. Thank you very much.
Well, you're very kind. I have an intern traveling around with me. She's from Greenville College, Free Methodist in the district. And I said, this is Lutheran Pirate Radio. It sounded a little more mystical. So now she could see.
There's nothing mystical about what's going on in here. We heard from Brigadier General Laza. Yes. And the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, right. The troops are pulling out. There's celebration in the streets in Iraq. Was it worth it, looking back on the years that we have spent in Iraq militarily?
Well,
was it worth it?
I think
about 1 minute before we go to break.
Yeah, I think time will tell. I mean, we have a democratic government in Iraq. If they continue to support the rule of law, the rights of women, and our allies in the war on terror, then it's going to be worth it. If it can't maintain this peace and stability and control, then it may not. So this is just the start of an evaluation of whether it was successful.
Well, when we come back from this break, we're going to spend the last 10 minutes of the program with Congressman John Shimkus, a good friend of the program, and he serves the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. We'll get a little bit of a Washington update, but we'll stay on the subject of Iraq for just a few more minutes after this break. You can join us. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's the 30th of June, the one-year anniversary of Issues Etc. is returned to the air. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Terry Setterstrom, Sean Cooney, Lisa Pickering, Tim Wilcoxon, Paul Weirman, Roberta Lorenz, Robert Frank, Terry Neustel II, Tony Hall, and Michael Williams. Thanks for your support.
Village Lutheran Church in Ladue thanks God for his saving gift of faith through Christ and invites you to share in this gift by worshiping with us Sunday mornings at 8:15 or 10:45. We're conveniently located 1 mile west of the Galleria on Clayton Road. For more information, call 314-993-1834 or visit villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran Church, ordinary people loved by an extraordinary God. VillageLutheranChurch.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Here in Studio A, Congressman John Shimkus is our guest, 19th Congressional District. Getting a little bit of a Washington update, but we're staying on the subject of Iraq for a while. You said before, time will tell. This is a step in a process, you said, that needs to continue. In the best of all possible worlds, what will Iraq look like a year from now, or better yet, 5 years from now? What's the plan?
Well, a self-governing nation that can protect itself. Both internally and externally. Remember, Iraq was 30 years under a dictatorship named Saddam Hussein, who just ruled ruthlessly, and the stories of his treatment of his own people and even gassing his own people. So now, through the invasion, they have an opportunity to operate as a functional democracy, elected representatives, and the test is, can they maintain that and respect the rule of law, the rights of women? Of course, in the Arab world, that's a touchy issue, the rights of women, the rule of law, and their allies in a war on terror. I mean, in the Arab world, it would be helpful to have friends who are democratic, and this is a chance to have a democracy that is a friend and ally of the United States.
We can't really talk or think about Iraq without its next-door neighbor coming up, which has been so much more in the news because of the recent presidential elections. Your thoughts on what happened in Iran in the last month or so?
Well, dictators do what dictators do. And I've been to an election that was held by a dictator in Belarus. They steal elections. They stuff the ballot boxes. It looks all good on the outside, but unless you can be there for the counting of the ballots, no one should ever expect, you know, an election unless you have international observers that are really – and I went as an international observer. When they poured the ballots out on the table, they wouldn't let us watch them. I mean, we had to be pretty far away. So that's what happened in Iran. I for the life of me, I have no faith in their electoral process, and I think they just stole the election.
Well, coming back to Washington and back to our own soil, let's talk about climate change bill. What's happened here? And if the leadership of Congress and President Obama's administration has their way, what are we looking at by way of regulation or legal action in terms of the climate in the near future?
Yeah, and this is a very difficult process to talk people through. They're now starting to think about it. The basic premise is man is responsible for greenhouse gases. The majority of them are man-made portions. Now, greenhouse gases, most of them are naturally occurring, very small percent. But the small percent that man is adding to the atmosphere is helping create and speed up global warming, i.e. climate change. And that if we just stop that emissions and roll those emissions back, we're going to be able to change climate in the opposite direction. The basic premise of man being able to control the Earth's climate eludes me to begin with, but that we are so powerful. It's like building the Tower of Babel, that we can do this. But it's a real-world public policy debate, and the basic premise is if you use fossil fuels, you're going to have to pay more. The additional to either force us to use less or for the revenue to go to quote-unquote green technology, wind and solar, mm-hmm. which is more costly electricity. Even though you espouse the need for wind and solar, and Republicans don't mind that, that is more costly power than traditional coal or nuclear power.
Well, that raises a question. In the current economic climate, is this the time to be doing this with regard to the ecological climate?
This is the worst time to be raising energy prices because it deprives people of their own discretionary income. It raises the cost of everything that we do, if it's a service agency, whether it's a manufacturing facility, retail, if you raise energy prices, everyone else has to raise prices. This is the worst time. The question is why now? It's because they have this supermajority both in the House and the Senate. They probably feel that this is the time to move because they won't have these numbers after the next electoral cycle. So it's a calculation to move this massive agenda now.
Do you get the sense that that the leadership of Congress is looking at the midterm elections as the time when the door will close? I mean, you just alluded to that, but do you think they really are saying, if we don't get it done now, or this done now, or that done now, we won't be enjoying the kind of majorities that we have right now?
I think that they know that the historical trend, and especially how aggressive this administration is that their numbers, they know their numbers are going to decrease. So if they want to move on this huge socialistic government control agenda, climate change is only part of that, taking over national health care is a part of it, owning parts of GM is another one, owning major banks is another one. That is a real change in how most people view the way a constitutional republic should operate. This is the time, in essence, to seize control when they have the vote majority that they have.
What scares me about this, aside from just kind of the general push for all these big changes, is that when it comes to matters of the economy, we've never done this before. We have literally never owned major portions of the U.S. economy or had government control over it. What's your confidence in, especially kind of the recent round of the bailout that involved the automakers? What's your confidence there?
Well, I'm not confident. I'm very concerned. I'm very skeptical. And I think that, and I'm not questioning the intentions. Again, the intentions might be good, but they're misguided. If you believe in, as I do, in the capitalist free market system, that's the best way to distribute goods and services at the lowest price.
Is that going to survive if we continue to do what we're doing here?
If we continue to seize more control of the everyday operation of the U.S. economy, it's going to be very, very difficult to turn the clock back. We got the European countries trying to divest themselves of this big government intervention in the everyday lives of their citizens, and they're finding it very difficult to do so.
You mentioned national health care. I can't begin to understand the nature of the problem, much less the solution. How would you break it down for me? What's the nature of the problem, and is there a solution?
Well, you guys are here probably a perfect example of folks that are saying, hey, we're a young startup. We need to provide health insurance. You probably, as a small group, you can't. There's health care needs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the reality is we know there's a lot of people out there who need to have some health insurance product.
It's expensive, Congressman.
It's very expensive. So the answer is the government's going to provide a government option insurance. That's one answer that will compete with the private sector, and the argument is it brings the cost down. My concern with that is this, that when the government's involved, they have the government backstop of safety and security of the government, and they also have the government has tax incentives to lower that price. So then the private insurance market is gone as people jettison their employees to this government system. Then you have one system, and you have a system like Canada or New Zealand or Australia or the UK in which the only way you control health care delivery is if you ration that service. And government, the government bureaucrat will be in the room helping make decisions of who gets care and who doesn't.
Okay, so between now and the midterm elections, can the current leadership of Congress get something like that done? Can they actually turn that corner and accomplish that for good or for ill between now and the election?
I think they might be able to do it on health care. I'd like to see them compromise with us on a private option where we insure everybody of health insurance. And we help subsidize those who can, like the Medicare D plan. It's a private sector solution to a problem which is competitive. On climate, I hope we can stop them, and that battle's on the Senate side.
Well, thank you very much for being our guest. It's a pleasure to have you here in the studio on this day where we're celebrating, and we really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be here.
I am honored to be here. I'm very proud of you guys, and just keep plugging along.
Thank you. It's nice to have a friend. It really right. is.
At least one.
Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District. When we come back from this break, hour two of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday, June the 30th, still celebrating with our listeners our return to the air 1 year. Here in Studio A, Pastor Matt Harrison. He's author of the book Christ Have Mercy, How to Put Your Faith into Action. And he's also executive director of LCMS World Relief and Human Care. He'll be here in Studio A, also a very good friend of the program. We'll spend the entire hour talking about his subject, mercy. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio. We get your questions and comments in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. Our guests are with us, not only here in studio, but also out in the control room. We have visitors and listeners to the program who are celebrating with us 1 year back on the air. This is the way we like to celebrate it, because our listeners are the ones who brought us back, and it's our way of thanking them. Gathering here for this open house, and then a little bit later, we will have some hopefully delicious food and a way of celebrating with our listeners here in Collinsville, Illinois, at the studios of LPR. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor Matt Harrison will be our guest in just a few minutes in the second hour of the program. Mercy is a concept in Scripture that we are unfamiliar with as sinners. We have been shown mercy, and we are to show mercy, and that'll be the subject for the second hour of the program. Pastor Matt Harrison next. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkins and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.